Amen, amen. Well, I am excited about tonight. What do you, when you've taught with Trey and Robert Healing School for almost 2.5 years, what do you teach when you can condense it down into 3 sessions? And so I asked the Lord, and I believe I'm here with a clear directive as to what to teach tonight. The title of what I'm going to teach is really Prepared for My Harvest of Health. But I'm going to do it in a manner that maybe is a little bit different, because what he's instructed me to talk about tonight is our words and the importance of our words. I could easily call it the power of my words. So we're going to talk about speaking God's word. Robert, if you'll put our confession up, the first couple of screens, then I'm going to go into being prepared for this harvest of health that we have. Now, every Sunday, we confess what you see on the screen there. And so, let me just read the first two lines, or first two screens to you, because the way the Lord has instructed me to teach that is very pertinent to these. So it says, we believe, and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose to speak life and blessing. And the next line, I believe, says, and like our good and gracious Heavenly Father. And I don't know exactly where we put this together. I've seen some confessions like this or similar. But that line really jumped out at me in preparing tonight, for tonight. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So let's go back to the beginning of this. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 4:13. As our first scripture. And we're going to talk about each of these phrases here. We believe, and therefore we speak. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul writing says, but having the same spirit of faith. Now, whose same spirit of faith do we have? Romans tells us we've been given by God the measure, or a measure, depending on which translation you read, of faith. So whose faith do you and I have now that we're born again? We have His faith. And that's going to be very important to us. And having the same spirit of faith. Now, spirit there is talking about being excited about what you're doing, kind of like school spirit. It's not spirit with a capital S as in Holy Spirit. But having that same type of faith, that faith that we get excited about, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. And then Paul says, we also believe, therefore we also speak. So we have the same spirit of faith. We can get excited about it. We've been given that measure of faith that God has. And what he spoke to me is, this is what believers do. Believers speak. Believers speak. And people say, well, that's just not my thing. I'm not convinced about all these words. You need to be. Now, I'm not talking about being a word police. And if Mark says something that I don't think is quite right, I'm not talking about getting in his face and correcting. But what we're going to see tonight is our words are critical to us receiving from God what He wants to give us. And it's tied to it so very closely. Let me read you the contemporary English version of this scripture. In the scriptures it says, I spoke because I have faith. Since we have that same kind of faith, so we speak. The complete Jewish Bible says, I trusted, therefore I spoke. That's what believers do. Now, if you say, well, I don't know about it. You know, I heard the phrase from Mark Hankins. one time, and what he said was, if your faith won't move your mouth, it won't move your mountain. What is in our heart needs to come out. And so that is just really important. Now, the thing that is interesting, it says, therefore we speak. So I would ask the question, what do you speak? And if I could answer that with Scripture, when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he tells them, you brood of vipers, I believe was the words he used, Adam. How can you, being evil, speak good things? And then he comes on and says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what do we speak? Whatever is in abundance in your heart. And you control that. And it's not just something that you make the decision about today. Because if it's in there in abundance, that means you've been putting it in over a period of time. And we're going to see that more clearly in just a moment. Matthew 6:31 says, take no anxious thought, saying. So the reverse of that is true also. That to take a thought, what do? We speak it. When you're going to see that, that's how the sower sows the word. We implant it. So what are we supposed to be speaking? Because we believe it. The implanted word of God that's deep inside us. We are not confessing God's word in order to be healed. We are confessing his word because we believe we already are healed. It is a done deal. And there is a huge, huge difference in that. You know, the scripture warns us that we're going to give account for idle words. What is an idle word? I would say it's something that doesn't produce good fruit. And so I don't want to be accused of that. So I want to be speaking what he wants me to speak, putting that in my heart. And then the next phrase. So let me read it together. We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So look at Proverbs 18 with me. And we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Now, you know this scripture because we teach it and we've quoted it a lot here in this church. But let's just talk about it a minute. Verse 20 says, with the fruit of a man's mouth will his stomach be satisfied. He's not talking about food coming in your mouth and satisfying you. What he's saying is, with the fruit of a man's mouth, what your mouth produces, what seeds you've put down inside you, be it good or evil, either one. It says, with that, man is going to be satisfied. And then it goes on and adds, he will be satisfied with the product of his lips. An Amplified Bible adds whether it's good or bad. So what he's telling us is, in effect, we are prophesying our future with what we say. And again, back to the first part we looked at, what we say is what is in our heart in abundance. Now, don't get concerned just because you hear one time a word of doubt come out of your mouth. People ask all the time, well, how do you know if you're in faith for this? How do I know if I'm in faith? My best answer is to listen to what you're saying. Your words will tell you whether or not you're in faith, because you're going to be speaking life and blessing, or you're going to be speaking curse and death. Then verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Saying the same thing that verse 20 said. But death and life are in the power of a tongue. Well, the first thing that tells me is that the tongue has power. How does the tongue have power? Because it's speaking words. And words are containers. They contain an image, a thought. But you're going to see they also contain power. They contain life. What does John 6:63 say? My words, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now, We make that decision. But when do we make that choice of what's coming out of our heart in abundance? Well ahead of the time we need to speak it. What I find, what I have found in my own life, if that I get to a point and I'm in a panic situation, and then I go to try to put something in here in abundance, when what should I have been doing? I should have been putting that in abundance all along, so that when the situation comes up, I'm ready to respond to it. And you can tell by what is the first thing out of your mouth. And I believe that your first response is often so key. So for that power that you want to be put out into the air, and you need to remember that Reinhard Bonnke was told by the Lord, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. Now that's an awesome statement. And if he told it to Reinhard, then it's true for you and I as well. So we make that choice ahead of time. And then we add a next line. We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, so we choose to speak life and blessing. Deuteronomy 30:19 talks about it being a choice that the Lord sets before you, life and blessing, death and curse. And he says, choose life. So this is a conscious decision that we make. And again, let me just say it one more time. We need to make it ahead of time and not wait for the tough times to come before we try to start cramming. How many of, don't raise your hand, because a lot of us would raise it. How many of you in college got up right to the last minute for final exam and crammed? And you didn't do as good, did you, as if you had studied all along? The same thing applies to our words. We can take that same example. So we believe, and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, so we choose to speak life and blessing. And then this phrase, and like our good and gracious Heavenly Father. Like our good and gracious Heavenly Father. Whose image are you created in? He created us in His own image. Likeness and image. Do you remember when man was created, he said the Lord breathed the breath of life into him? What are words? Breath. With certain sound waves. Now the interesting part about that is the Jewish sages would say when he spoke the breath of life into Adam, it says Adam became a speaking spirit. So here we got speaking again, even tied back to the creation of man, giving us an idea of how important that it is. Like our Father. Like our Father. Now, consider the Father. When He speaks, He is not just solely communicating a thought. Well, what else is He doing? Well, number one, He's creating. His words have creative power. Your words have creative power. What else is He doing? He's exercising His ultimate authority when He speaks. And that, folks, is exactly what we are to do. Genesis 1:3, He said, light be. And I like the Young's literal translation. Literally what he said was, light is. It was, it is, and it is to come. Light is. And what did it do? It created out of darkness. What's the next thing it says about how he created that? It said he ended up naming darkness and light. So he's exercising his authority to name things. Now, think about man again. What privilege, what authority did he give to Adam? Dominion. To name all the animals. So he's given him the ability, gave Adam the ability to speak a name, and what he spoke it is what it became, what that animal was called. That's the same type of authority that we have. 8 times in Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said. And every time, power was released. And let me just add, there were times when he, through the prophets, spoke words, and it was 1,000 years before it came to pass. But when he spoke it, the power to create and to bring about what he said was going to happen is released. And the same thing is true with you and I. We don't understand the power that we have with us, inside us, residing inside us. So, concerning the Word of God, let me tie together this thing of creating authority with the essence of it, which is power. And I'm just going to give you 4. You don't need to turn to them. But if you're taking notes, you can just write them down and I'll read them. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Now, if you read that in the Hebrew, literally what it says, where the word of a king is, where the word of a king, power. So, king's words produce power. How do kings rule? By speaking. If they want a ditch dug, they don't go say, bring me a shovel. They say, go dig the ditch. So it's ruling by our words. Luke 4:32, talking about Jesus. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now, I believe they discerned his words of power as they heard them, but they also saw something. They saw what happened. Verse 36 kind of supports that. It says, and they all were amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands, speaks to the unclean spirits, and they do what? Come out. So there's 3. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. So let's take that from the back. With the Holy Ghost. Well, guess who resides in you? When you speak his words, it's not you speaking. It's the Holy Ghost empowering and speaking those words that bring the power on the scene. It's by those words. Isn't that what they prayed in Acts 4? Lord, give us some more of what you just went through. Now, that's a remarkable prayer in and of itself because they'd been put in prison. And then they said, let us speak your word boldly. And let you confirm it by extending your hand to heal and with signs and wonders. But what came first? The speaking of the word. And then finally, look at this one with me. Hebrews 1:3. Not only does it create, but our words are powerful to sustain whatever needs sustaining, including you and me, standing against the worst thing we could possibly come against. That word is sustaining. Verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. Now what does that give us some insight in? Jesus was speaking. The Word was speaking. Then verse 3. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation. And that word, therefore, exact representation, or King James says image, is the word icon, from where the word Nikon comes. He is the exact image of his person. And look at this next phrase. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. So, what does that tell us? When you feel like you can't stand up and you need to be sustained, you need to be speaking. It will sustain you. The strong spirit of a man sustains him during times of bodily infirmity and problems. Where are you speaking out of? Where does your strength come from? Your spirit. That's what you're speaking out of the abundance of. That's what we're going to see. We've got to get planted well. Now, our words too, and look at Luke 7 with me real quickly. Our words too are not just for communicating. Now, I'll be the first to admit I need to have more words of just communications with my wife. That's not what a lot of us guys are real good at. But our words also are for creating and exercising authority in the spiritual realm of which we reign. Luke 7, verse 7 and 8. Luke 7, verse 7 and 8. And it would help if I'd go to Luke versus John. Now, this is the encounter with the centurion. And the centurion talking to Jesus after he'd already asked him to come heal his servant. He said, "For this reason, I didn't consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word." Say the word. What is that implying? Authority comes through the spoken word of those who are holding a position of authority. "And my servant will be healed." Say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then he says, "For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now, what do we know happened? Jesus said, "Go, be it unto you as you believed." And his servant was healed. But what's the key here? "For I also am a man under authority." Are we under authority? Are we willfully submitted to the Lord? Because it takes that in order for you to be under authority, for you to be in authority. You can't be in rebellion to what God's telling you to do and walk in His authority. It doesn't work that way. And this is a principle we see not only in Scripture, but also in the real world. I'm reminded of Job 22:28, which says, "Decree a thing, and it shall be established." Again, speaking, your words creating. And then the last part of our confession. "We believe, and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were." Look at Romans 4:17. Now in this account, Paul is recounting what the Lord spoke to Abram when he changed his name to Abraham, giving him the promise. Abram meant high father, which Abram wasn't. He was childless. Abraham means father of many nations or father of a multitude. So he said, "I'm changing your name." What was he forcing Abraham to do? To say his name. People would say, "Abram." Nope. "My name's not Abram. I am the father of many nations." What was he causing him to do? So that's the background for which this verse is written. So verse 17. "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you." How did he make that? How did he make Abraham the father of many nations? By calling out a name change for him. He called him something that he wasn't yet. He called him something that he wasn't yet. And then it says, "In the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead." To what dead? To whatever is of the evil thing that brings death to you. It doesn't matter what it is. He gives life to the dead. And how does he do it? Let me read it out of the King James, New King James. I like it better than what mine says. "And call those things which do not exist as though they did." He calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, a couple of key points here. In Hebrews 11, it talks about that God created things with what? Words. And he took matter which you couldn't see and made it matter which you can see. So what I want you to see is when we call things that be not as though they were, in the spiritual realm, they come to be. And as we are consistent in bringing those things forward, then they will be in this manifested realm that we live in. Now, some would say, well, I'm just real. I call things the way they are. And I would say, don't expect healing then. Because if that's all you're going to say is, I've got, I can't, then that's where you're going to be stuck. So what are we doing when we say, call things that be not as though they were? I say, I call my body whole. Blood pressure. Breathing problems. Take your pick, but let's use blood pressure. I don't like to say, I have low blood pressure. I call my circulation system perfectly normal. Now, why am I saying that? Well, if we start saying things like, this doesn't exist, pain, I do not have pain in my body. I am hurting something fierce, but I go around saying, I do not have pain. Why is that not calling things that be not as though they were? What is your focus of that statement? The pain, not the solution. And what you behold, you're going to make room for. And what you make room for, you're giving power to. And that's with everything that you read, see. And it's why we don't need to look at so much in excess that's not nurturing us in the Word of God. So it's about our focus there. Now, there's one other thing that I want you to look at. And I want you to look at verse 20, if you can go to that, Robert. Now, this is the same train of thought. So he's talking about calling things that be not as though they were, exercising his faith. And then in verse 20, it says, he did not waver at the promise. At what promise? Of his name change. How do we know he didn't waver? Because he went around telling people what his name was. He didn't waver. And how do we waver? Through unbelief. But those words that he was speaking strengthened him in faith. It will make you stronger when you say what God says about the situation. But the part I want you to see is not only did it strengthen him, but he was giving glory to God through what he said by calling himself what God said about him. Now, that is being real. Real smart and bring about real strength and real change in our lives. People say, how can you lie about how you are? I'm not lying. I'm giving God glory by calling my body whole when some doctor tells me it's not. I am glorifying my God. How is he glorified? By me being in faith. And because we are believers, what do believers do? We speak that which we believe. We're not trying to get, we're speaking it knowing it's already mine. Now, Jesus, when he was talking about going away and coming back in Luke 18, I think it's verse 8, he says, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Now, I know he's, as Jesus in heaven, he's omniscient. He gave all that away when he came down to earth. But he's picked that back up, that mantle, and he's operating as God. How's he going to... You know one way he's going to tell that he finds faith when he comes back on the earth? He's going to hear us believers speaking. And that's going to be, I believe, a very important thing. Folks, when we read about what's going to happen in the end times, if we take that as, oh my gosh, versus here's the way it's going to be, I'm warning you, then that says to me, I need to start speaking now and start declaring how my family, the shooting incident today in Florida, soon as we heard that, we stopped and began declaring safety over our children, some of whom are, one of whom is a teacher, and over our children as they're in school. Brad and Paige are about an hour's away from where that happened down in Florida. And we called our oldest to say, look, declare no fear. You've got angels going before you, the Lord your rear guard. Speak that. Declare it. And declare it to your classmates if you have to. Now, given that, let's take these last few minutes and take what we've seen about my words being creative, my words upholding things, my words containing power. And let's talk about me being prepared for my harvest of healing. So go back to Proverbs 4. And we're going to look at a few verses that Trey used in the very first session we had at Healing School PM. Proverbs 4, verse 20. And I'm going to read through these. We could spend the next 15 minutes on it, but I've got too much else to cover. My son, give attention to my words. Now, if we're attending to his words that he spoke, he's saying they're important. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The normal reaction I get when people read that or when they read Joshua 1:8 about meditating the word all the time is, you can't do that. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're thinking about something all the time. You got to be the one who determines what you're thinking about. And you can tell what's important to you by where your mind wanders to. And I talk to mine. Mind, get back here. I grab myself by the ear and pull myself back. You've got to speak to yourself just that way and to your body. And this is the same way that speaking from your spirit, you control that unruly flesh, which ties in to what we're talking about with healing. So he continues on then. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, what were we talking about earlier? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why we keep it. We guard them. We're going to talk about keeping our garden. What assignment was Adam given concerning the garden? To keep it. We have that same charge of our garden that is a spiritual garden. Verse 22 then says, for they are life, they what? His words. They are life to those who find them. Now that tells me everybody ain't going to find them. And what is the difference between people who find them and people who don't? People who esteem the Word of God. If you esteem the Word of God as the Word of God, as the guidelines for which your life is to be ordered, as the words which you're to speak over situations, then you're going to esteem it. And if you search for it, the Lord tells us He will be found. His words will be found. So do not say, I just can't read it and understand it. You've got the one who wrote it living inside you to explain it to you. If you'll take the time, but what is the first thing you need to be doing? You need to speak instead of, I can't. The Holy Spirit teaches me. I am wise in the Word of God. I love His precepts. I follow them. And he concludes that verse by saying, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Medicine is probably a more appropriate word. Amplify says they are health, or they are healing and health. They will keep you healthy, and if you fall away from health, they will get you back well. What will? His words. Faith is not knowing what that verse says. Faith is having that intimate knowledge of it in here and believing it so that what? Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if you and I have a healing need, when do we want the healing to manifest? Today. But Scripture tells us, and examples all the way through, that the kingdom of God is like seed time and harvest. So if I need a harvest today, if I am prepared for my harvest of healing today, this says to me, there's some things I need to be doing. If I'm going to plant a garden in the spring, then about now I need to start doing some things. So let's talk about what those things are. And what I want you to see in this is that the Lord has provided a way where if you'll do what He says, He's going to do all that preparation for you. You've got one thing to do. Speak His word. And you're going to see that in each of these examples. So, first thing I will tell you is my spirit, we in the church, are the garden of the Lord. And we're the only spiritual garden that I see referenced in Scripture. Every other garden is a physical garden. But ours is a spiritual one. And that's in your spirit where His garden is. Isaiah 51 verse 3. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. So He's talking about us. He's speaking words that's declaring what's happening to you and I today. He will comfort her, all her waste places and her wilderness. Now let's think about our spirit before we were born again. Sin nature. Desolate. No hope. Does that sound like a wilderness? And her wilderness, He will make like Eden. That's His garden, where everything you needed to exist was already there in that garden. This is what He's doing for you. And then it goes on to say, in her desert, like the garden of the Lord. So if you didn't understand the first phrase, He's telling you, I'm going to make it like a garden. And what you're going to find in that garden is joy and gladness, thanksgiving, and a sound of melody. Jeremiah 31, verse 12, you don't need to go there, says, our life will be like a watered garden. Will be like a watered garden. Now that makes me think about out of our heart flow the what? Issues of life. Rivers flowing out of us. So now that we see where the garden is, then what do we got to do? How do we begin to prepare it? Look at Ephesians 3:16. Excuse me. Ephesians 3, and we're going to read 16 through 20. Now, the first thing that you need to do, I believe, is start declaring, decreeing, my heart is good ground. My heart is good ground. You know that the Word says, for God so loved the world. But do you know, and is your heart the good ground that says, for God so loves me? In that revelation, the soil is being prepared. So verse 16 of Ephesians 3. Do I want to start that early? Yeah, why not? That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. So where is this strengthening coming? In our spirit man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, if something is well-rooted and well-grounded, what does that say about that soil? It's good ground. What are you to be rooted and grounded in? What is your heart to be full of? The knowledge, experiential knowledge, of His love for you or for me personally. And then it says in verse 18 that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. My heart, my garden soil, is to be love-based. You're supposed to be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now, when 1 John 4 says, twice. God is love. When you're filled with all the fullness of God, what are you filled with?
Love.
Whose love?
God's love.
God's love that He shed abroad in your heart, that He said in John 17:26 that He gave to you. And so to me, speaking this over ourselves is the key element in preparation. I saw a scripture today that I had never seen before, if you can understand what I'm saying. 2 Thessalonians 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. It says, "And may the Lord direct your hearts." So, as I'm speaking what He says about me, this tells me what He's doing. "May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of the Christ." He's directing it. He's already providing it. So what are we doing? How do we prepare that ground? How do we acknowledge that we are His garden? We speak what He says about us in these areas. So the ground's tilled. It's ready. Now what is our job? Well, what do you do next in a real garden? You plant seed. 1 Peter tells us that we are born again through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Mark 4 says, in verse 14, simply says, the sower sows the what? The Word. So the next step is to get the Word sown, where? Into our hearts. Not just hear it. If you find yourself when somebody's teaching and says, turn to John 3:16, and your first thought is, I know that, you need to grab yourself by your ear and say, listen. Because you're saying, I already know it, instead of listening to what the Spirit's going to say. Most often I found I didn't know it. So He tells us, sow the Word. Now that begs the question, well, who's supposed to sow the Word into your heart? Well, that's what Trey does every Sunday morning. That's what you're doing tonight. Yeah. We are anointed to sow the Word. An anointed Word. So that you can receive it. But that doesn't exclude you from sowing Word in your heart. So you need to be speaking seed into your heart. Well, what do I say? Well, you've got sitting in your lap a big bag of healing seed. And let me just give you three of them. 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes, I am healed. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord who heals thee. Or you might say, you are my Lord who heals me. That's your covenant He's talking about. Psalm 103:3. He forgives all my iniquities. Lord, You forgive all my iniquities and You heal all of my diseases. Why is it that we believe the first phrase when it says all? That He'll forgive every sin. But you know it's the same word all in the second phrase that's in the first phrase. And you know what it means?
All.
He will heal all our diseases. Do you believe that? You know what? If you do, it's going to come out your mouth. So we've got seed here. And if you need a list of healing scriptures, text the office. If Bruce and Trey don't have it, they can text me and I'll send you pages of healing scripture that you can confess over yourself. Now, don't say, well, I don't have time to do it. How you allocate and spend your time is a direct indicator of your priority. If you think you need healing, then you need to make it a number one priority. If you're really fighting it, then it ought to be something that you devote and you're single-eyed to. Then, the other thing that we do with this planting is we do it continually. What does it say about those trees in Psalms 1 that are planted by the river? They're always producing. They're always bearing fruit. That says to me, I always need to be sowing good seed for what I'm needing. And then we get to, after we plant, we got to keep the garden. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, and the Lord gave the increase. So I want to ask you the question, Apollos watered. What does that mean? That means to me that Apollos was a teacher. And he came right behind Paul, teaching, preaching the same things that Paul had done. And he watered, and he watered, and he watered. Now, you can expect us to do that. If you come to Healing School every Thursday morning, you're going to have seed planted, and you're going to get watering for that seed that's already been planted. But from Friday to the next Thursday, it needs watering. You're the one that needs to be watered. The Word planted, I watered, and God gives the increase. It's got to be something that we see ourselves doing to produce this harvest. The other thing you'd have to do is keep it weed free. Now, a couple of things here. One way I keep it weed free is by not countering or saying things that are in disagreement with what I've said the Word of God says. You can say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And if you turn right around saying, I'm sick as a dog, I need sympathy, I need somebody to pat me on the back, then out of the abundance, you're seeing where you are. You don't try to do the Word. Concerning Joseph, it says the Word tried him in the Psalms. You speak it because you're believing it. And so don't let the enemy sow seeds into you. He'll sow thoughts. Have we been taught that we defend thoughts? When the enemy starts talking and saying, you know, that fever may come back tomorrow. You know, you thought you were healed, but did you feel that? What do we do? How do we get those thoughts to do it? If we just say, devil, I'm not going to, if we think this, devil, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to you. What have we been taught? You speak to it. When you're speaking, you cannot be listening truly at the same time. You will lose your train of thought. And so when you hear those thoughts, what do? Speak those very same promises that we used in planting, in watering, and now in maintaining the weed-free garden. So everything revolves around this speaking. Luke 8, in the 50th verse, and we won't turn there for time's sake. Jairus had come to Jesus. They were on his way. They got interrupted. The people came from his house and said, bad news, she's dead. Now, what Jairus said to Jesus was, if you come to my house and lay hands on my daughter, she will get well. In Luke 8:50, Jesus overhears what they're telling him, and the last thing he tells him is, don't worry, you said she will get well. In other words, he's saying, say the same thing you said. Don't change what you've been saying. Maintain that steadfastness. The other thing that we need when we're keeping the garden is patience and perseverance. We always talk about don't dig up the seed to see if it's growing, if it's harvesting. Now, the scripture I want to use with this one is James 3:4. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder. Now, what is that rudder we know talking about? Our tongue, what we're saying. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So he's saying that the one who controls that ship is the pilot. So that's you in charge of your tongue. But let's talk about a rudder a minute. You got a little rudder that can turn a big ship. So when the pilot either turns the wheel on a boat, or if it's a smaller boat and he's got a stick that's tied to that rudder, when he pushes it out to the right, you know what's happening to that rudder? What's making that boat turn? There's great pressure applied to that rudder. And you're going to have great pressure applied to your tongue. Because if I let go of that rudder, it's going back and it's going to go whatever direction it's in at that instant. So what have you got to do? When that pressure comes, you've got to apply equal pressure or greater pressure back to it. How do you do that? Well, in the spiritual world, there is only but one way. What is it? Come on, don't look at me that way after almost an hour of this. Speaking. That is the only weapon we have, is to speak the word. And so when that pressure comes, your first reaction is not, oh my God, what's happening next? It's, the word says, I am whole, my body is sound, I am sozoed, today is my day of salvation. And once we do that, then we're getting close to reaping. 1 Peter 1:8-9 basically says, I believed. And in verse 9 it says, I'm going to obtain, which is to take. That's what we're after, receiving. But in between is a state of joy inexpressible and full of glory. The only way you can stay full of joy inexpressible and full of glory is by giving glory to God. Now go back to the verse that we looked at earlier, verse 20, that said, Abraham grew strong in faith, and he did what? He glorified God. How did he do it? By speaking. Now, we can go on and talk about Mark 11:23-24. Speaking the word. And that says, when you believe it, when you speak it. But what have we learned tonight? I'm speaking it because I do believe it. And when you do that, then you will take that solution, that seed that is incorruptible, which is the same DNA that you've got in you. You will take that seed from the unseen realm, just like Jesus did, talking about him when he said he created the earth. He took that which you could not see, and he made it something you can see. Now, what is the common thread? Preparing the ground, sowing, watering, keeping the garden, staying in joy, glorifying God, speaking the word. I know that there have been some that have abused the concept that we've talked about tonight. But everything I see in this world that's good, somebody has abused the concept of it. And I don't throw it away. This is what the word of the Lord says. We need to be firm. Speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. And you shall reap your harvest. In fact, I would say to you, when you're doing these things and something rears its ugly head, then you can say, I'm prepared. Today I'm receiving my harvest of healing. Now. So as we close tonight, I prayed about how do we close this? How do we have a time of prayer? And I didn't get any direct instruction. So what the unction I have is, unless you feel something different, is that we're to take what we heard tonight and go home and begin to implement it. Do what we've talked about tonight, and then I'm excited to see who comes back next week saying, this is where I was. Glory to God. Look what happened.